Let's pray that we would receive something from God this morning. Lord, I thank you that you are very much in this place this morning. I thank you that you're at work in the lives of people. I thank you that as Alex has already shared, there's something that you're wanting to do, that you're wanting to break down barriers, that you're wanting to set people free. You're wanting people to be able to run in 2012 in a way that they've never run before. That you're wanting to bring purpose and direction for their life like they've never felt before. That you're wanting to bring multiplication among us. You're wanting us to experience multiplication in our businesses, in our finance, in our lives, in our families, in our careers, right across this place. You're wanting to multiply this church in a numeric sense. We thank you, Lord, that your heart is to see multiplication. So we ask right now that you would open our hearts and we would receive from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, well, have a seat. And thanks, band. Yeah, why don't you give the worship team a hand this morning? Great worship. Well done, Sam and the team. I really love worship this morning. It was absolutely fantastic. So I hardly need to say this, but this year we're believing for a year of multiplication. And I love what Alex said. You know, what do you think of when that word multiplication is used? And, you know, previously we've talked about some of the things, and I've even shared a little bit about my great in-depth understanding of the world of mathematics. That you know, you've got the difference between addition and multiplication, and I'll speak a little bit more about that in a sec. But really, what do you think of? What do you think of when multiplication, that word, is actually used? Because what I want to say to you this morning is that God is able. That those words that Alex said, God is able to multiply things in your world. He's able to multiply things in your family. He's actually able to multiply your capacity. He's actually able to multiply your heart to reach people. He's able to multiply your influence. He's able to even multiply your talents and your abilities. You know, some of us, perhaps we can look at what we had when we started. We can look at what we had when God got hold of us. And you know, for me, I think, well, you know, I was a pretty average guy and I'm still a pretty average guy. But God is able to work in my life. He's able to work in your life, and he's able to take what we have. He's able to take our talents. He's able to take our capacity. He's able to take where we are, and he's able to multiply that. He doesn't want to add a little bit to your life. He doesn't want to, you know, if you're at a five in whatever area you've rated yourself, he doesn't want to add to you and make you a six. You see, a kingdom principle is he wants to join you with other people. He wants to join you with people across the body of Christ, and he wants to bring his Holy Spirit into that. That's the X factor, and he wants to actually multiply that. And that is what we're believing for this year. And we're believing for it as a church numerically. We're believing for it in your finances. We're believing for it in your family. We're just believing for it in your capacity. Maybe you've been a person that's been, you know, you've thought, well, there's so much I would like to do. There's so many other things I'd like to be involved in. But, you know, when you start to think about it, you get a bit uptight. And you get all stressed. And you think about all these things that have got to happen. And you think, well, I can't actually do that. And the more you think about it, the bigger your problems seem to get. And the more stressed you seem to feel. And then you've actually got to turn the TV on. And you've got to actually do nothing because it's just so stressful. I've got any friends here? No, you guys have never experienced that. I did just once. But I believe that God's actually wanting to multiply our capacity. Our capacity to be the people that he's called us to be. Our capacity to influence people in our world. Our capacity to actually enlarge our world and have more people as part of that. You know, you meet some people and you know they have that amazing gift of hospitality and they've always got people in their home, and you don't have to try and copy that if that's their gift. But sometimes when you think about that, you think, oh, that's just so hard, you know, I just don't have the capacity to do that. And perhaps you're not gonna be like that. But I just use that as an example of the way sometimes we think about those things, and God is wanting to multiply our capacity. He's wanting to enlarge the way that you can reach and bring people into your world. So anyway, just a few quick thoughts about multiplication. But on a number of occasions, Jesus speaks to his disciples about a harvest. And if you look in the Gospels, there's there's probably about four different times where a harvest is referred to. And one of those times, there's this story about Jesus, and he's going from one place to another, and he actually has to go through this town called Samaria. And he sent the disciples off to get some food, and while they were away a long time, I don't know what happened, you know, they got caught up, and maybe drive-through was a bit bulky or something, and they couldn't actually get back. And when they get back, they find Jesus, and he's at this well in the middle of Samaria, and he's talking to this woman. And that was a bit weird in those days, because good Jewish boys didn't talk to women, particularly Samaritan women. And he's talking to this girl, and he starts to speak to her about her life. He starts to speak to her about her relationships. He starts to speak to her about where she's been, and she's absolutely blown away by what happens. And then she goes off and she tells everybody else in the town what's going on. And people come, and there's a revival in Samaria, and people start getting saved. People start getting set free. Their minds start to be enlarged and start to be changed. And all of a sudden, the disciples, they're not quite with the program. They don't know what Jesus is doing. And they start to question things a little bit. And he gets them, and he starts to move their focus. And he says this in John 4:35. He says, "You know the saying, 4 months between harvest and planting, but I say to you, wake up and look around." Wake up and look around. I think that's a word for some of us here this morning. Wake up and look around. "The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages. The fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life." And he says, "What joy awaits for both the planter and the harvester." Then he says, "You know the saying, one plants, another harvests," and that's true. But he says, "I have sent you to harvest where you didn't plant." Because what he was saying to these guys was, there's been something has actually gone on here in Samaria, and you guys weren't even part of it. You guys weren't over here in Samaria distributing little tracts. You weren't over here running little coffee shops. You weren't over here doing stuff to reach people. You weren't doing anything at all. But we walk into Samaria, and I speak to one woman, and she goes out, and there's this multiplication effect actually starts to happen, because one man spoke to one woman, and one woman gets touched by God, and she goes and talks to all these other people, and they come back and they get saved. Right. And he says, "You weren't even part of that, but you did nothing to do that, but you're here, and you're experienced it, and you are part of the harvest, and you are part of the multiplication." And there's a principle in the Word of God. It's what you sow, you'll reap. Or what you sow, you'll harvest. And it's a principle in life. If you sow generosity, you're going to experience levels of generosity in your world. It's a principle. You can test it, you can try it, you can go away for the next 3 months and be as stingy as you like, and I can guarantee you're going to experience a whole lot of stinginess in your world. Or you go away and you try and be generous. You try and be generosity. You try and be generous. And you watch what happens in your world. I'm not saying someone's going to come in and park a BMW in your driveway because you've been a little bit generous. It'll be fantastic. But that's not necessarily going to happen. But when you start to generously reach somebody, you start to generously smile at somebody as you speak to them, when you actually go above and beyond what you need to, you'll find that starts to come back in your world. That's a biblical principle. It's a principle in life. It works. But what Jesus is saying here to the disciples, he's actually showing them another principle about harvest. He's saying, did you know that there is an X factor here? You've got to understand there's a God factor at play here, that you can experience multiplication. You can actually experience things where you didn't sow. You see, that principle we understand, that when you sow seed, that it multiplies itself, you know, hundreds or thousands or even more times. I'm not much of a gardener, actually. I don't get into gardening much at all. But more recently, I've got a little bit obsessed with my nature strip and my lawn, and I've been sowing seeds, and I've been putting lots of water on it and getting as much water as I can before the council put the meters in. And all those things. Yeah. And the thing is, it's interesting, isn't it? You put the grass seed down, and some of it doesn't even take. You know, you get these little clumps, and the grass doesn't even grow there, but others it shoots up. And you know, I was really excited when my lawn first came up and it was really cool. But then I started to get a bit stressed because I saw all these patches that the grass wasn't growing. And I was walking around and I was looking at it and wondering what I'm going to do with it. And, you know, I'd go out there in the morning and I'd look at it and I'd put a bit more water on it. And I'd go back in, I'd come back and I'd look at it again. But the interesting thing is, once I walked away and I started to forget about it a bit, and I don't know whether it sensed my sort of stress, but once I calmed down about it, it's amazing that the grass actually multiplies. That the seed is put in, but it just continues to multiply itself. Now, that is a principle of multiplication. That's a principle of harvest. And Jesus is showing the guys that that's in play here. But did you know, I was the one that planted that seed. Yeah, I put the water on it, but there was something in that seed. God had actually placed, ultimately, when he created the world, he placed genetically in that seed the ability to reproduce and grow. And he's done that in each of you. But did you know that there is a bigger principle at play here that Jesus talks to the disciples about? He said, you're actually going to experience multiplication. You're going to experience harvest where you haven't even sown. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Did you know that we as a church can actually experience harvest, we can experience multiplication, we can experience God reaching people in our city because by his divine leadership, he's caused other people to do the work. He's caused other people to sow the seed. He's actually got it out there. And we can be part of experiencing that multiplication. That's what Jesus was showing the disciples here. He's saying that you weren't even part of what's going on, but you're going to reap an amazing harvest because I can actually do more than you can even imagine. You see, God does and will bring multiplication to your world. But I think the key word here that Jesus said to his disciples was, wake up, look around and see what the Father has already done. Wake up, look around, see what the Father has already done. The Father's already been at work. Others have planted. Others have brought increase. Have a look. Have a look. Have a look. What are you seeing this week? Have a look around. Have a look at some of the things that are in your world that you perhaps haven't even thought of yet. And I'll unpack that a little bit more as we go. The Father has already been at work. And that verse that Alex talked about, this is a real key for the next season of us here in this church. And I'll read it to you out of a few versions. In Ephesians 3:20, it says, now all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, is able to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or even think. Another version says, I pray that Christ Jesus and the church will forever bring praise to God. His power at work in us can do far more than we dare to ask or imagine. The New King James Version says, now to him who is able to do, listen to this, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon says, and he's talking about Paul here, Paul's the guy that wrote what we're reading, and he says, he has constructed here in the Greek an expression which is altogether his own. No language was powerful enough for the apostle. I mean the Holy Ghost speaking through the apostle. He says, for often Paul has to coin words and phrases to shadow forth his meaning, and here is one. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly, so abundantly that it exceeds measure and description. How can we experience multiplication in our lives, in your family, in your business, and in our church this year? We've talked already in this series about a culture of multiplication. That means speaking the language of multiplication, actually speaking, you know, a culture is very much carried by language, and the language that we use actually changes the culture. And if we can speak a language of multiplication, if we can speak encouragement, if we can speak things in a faith-filled sort of way, we actually bring about a culture of multiplication. We can speak the language of multiplication. We've talked about developing an attitude of multiplication, or the X factor, where we've talked about 3 times 4 equals 3 plus 3 plus 3 equals 12. In other words, the X factor is the God factor. And if Grant and I decide we're going to do something, we've got what I can bring and we've got what Grant can bring. But in the kingdom of God, when we say we're going to do it together and we're going to do it in the will of God and we're going to bring God into that, we get this multiplication factor, because we get what I've got and we get what Grant's got, and the Holy Spirit joins us together and then he multiplies it. So you don't get David plus Grant is a little bit. You get David times Grant with the Holy Spirit is a whole lot more. You see, that is the spirit of multiplication. And God wants us to start to have that X factor in our worlds and in our lives. So today, I want to talk to you about what's happening in your head. What is happening in your head? I'm not going to get inside your head, but I want the Holy Spirit to get inside your head. Just listen to what the Word of God says. It says in Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing," listen to this, "by changing the way that you think. Let God transform you into a new person by zapping you, and you fall over, and you wake up and everything has changed." God can do those sorts of amazing things in your world, but the process is little bit, by changing the way that you think. The way that we are transformed is by letting the Holy Spirit get into our heads. It's interesting, isn't it? I could go off on a whole different tangent here. The Old Testament speaks so much about the heart. You know, and it says, out, what actually goes on in the heart is the wellspring of life, and that flows out of us. And that's really true. But after the cross, after what Jesus did, the New Testament talks about us. We actually, it's almost like when we come into the kingdom of God, we get a new heart, we get this transformation in our heart, but the work's actually got to happen in our head. It's got to happen about the way that we think about things, you see? Because the thing about the New Testament is God has already done the work, that he's already put things in place for us. It's about us changing the way that we think about it that is the big thing. So that's why Paul is so strong on this. He says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, wake up and have a look. Have you ever noticed the way that you look at something changes the way that you think about it? That sometimes you look at something and you've seen something every single day. You've driven past a certain building or something and you see it. You just see it and it's there and you don't notice any difference. I remember, has anybody had this experience when you drive across the Tasman Bridge? Now, if you drive across during the Tasman Bridge during the day, you can look across to your right and you can see Government House over there on your right. You know, it's got gardens around, it's up there on your right. But occasionally they have a function at Government House at night, and Government House is lit up like a Christmas tree. And you come across the Tasman Bridge, and it's just bang there in your face. And it looks quite amazing. It looks like, you know, it looks like this sort of majestic thing that's actually going on up there on the hill because it's lit up. And it actually, it changes the way you think about what's happening there. You see, normally you see it there or you don't see it, and you think, oh, yeah, it's Government House. I don't know what goes on in Government House. But when you see it in a different light, it actually changes the way you think about it. You start thinking, I wonder what's going on there tonight. I wonder who's visiting the governor tonight. I don't wonder what they're hosting. I wonder what is happening up there in Government House. And suddenly there's this sense of wonder and this sense of awe in the way that you think about it. And when we've got to look at things in such a way that it can change the way that we think about it. That's what Jesus was saying, and that's what Paul is saying here in Romans, that we've got to let God transform us by the way that we think. So let's look at things with fresh eyes. Let's look at things in a way that we can see them. So if we're going to see multiplication, God is able to, in your life, in your family, in your career, in your business, in our church. If we're going to see multiplication this year, write these down as points. Number one, God is able in your life, in your family, in your business, in our church. Number one, is able to exceed. God is able to exceed your expectations. He is able to exceed the limitations that you perceive that are on yourself. He is able to exceed. Now, the thing about exceed, I don't know what you think of when you think of exceed, but for me it's a negative word. Because the second day that I had my driver's license, I got booked for exceeding the speed limit. And what you sow, you'll reap. I set a pattern in my life, and it went on for many, many years after that, where I was always getting those, you know, those little green tickets and other things for exceeding the speed limit. Now, if you had asked me in my wisdom as a 17-year-old, I actually didn't like those limits. I didn't like those parameters that have been placed around me for everybody else's safety and my safety and all those things that they'd been put there for. And there was something in me that just wanted to exceed those limits. So it sort of had, when I hear that word exceed, it actually has a negative connotation. But you see, what I want to say to you now is that God is able to exceed the limits that are in your world. He's able to exceed the limits that perhaps you've placed in your world. He's able to exceed the limitations that may have been put there by other people, that you may feel that you've put there yourself, that you just feel are there in your world. Our God is able to exceed. He's able to go far above and beyond. He's able to go exceed the limits. It's a very positive thing that God is able to exceed. Number two, God is able to, in your life, in your family, in your career, in your business, God is able to do, listen to this, abundantly more in your world. Abundantly more in your world. See, yesterday, Alex shared already when we went to that wedding. It was in my notes and she talked about it. But when we went to that wedding, it wasn't just like, hey, we're going to get married. They asked me to do the wedding, and what they could have done, you know, that we could have turned up down there and I could have had all the paperwork and all the stuff, and we could have stood in their kitchen with a couple of other people and we could have married them. And could have been in the car and could have gone home, you know, could have been there 15 minutes, all done, being fixed. But they went over and above. It was abundant. You arrived and there was this massive, massive marquee that they'd put up in their yard, and there were people walking around, you know, handing out drinks and food, and then when we'd finished that, we made our way sort of up through the bush, and they'd found this area where all these straight eucalypt trees were growing up, and they were pointing up, and it was sort of like this sort of natural little cathedral, and they'd put all sorts of things up, and they'd built a table in there, and they'd put chairs in there, and they had a string quartet in there, and they had it all going on, and it was abundant. And then we finished that, and we left that, and we went back and went to the marquee, and then we had all sorts of other things going on. We had amazing food, and you know, and then after that, more people turned up to the party, and it just got bigger and bigger as it went. You see, it could have been done in 15 minutes, but it was abundant. It was more than actually what was required. And you know, that is the heart of God. When he talks about multiplication in your life, he actually wants to go above. He wants you to experience abundance. He wants you to experience more than. He wants you to have that sort of mindset when you think about what God is going to do. Number three, God is able to go above. God is able to go above. God is able to multiply things above your thoughts and expectations. Once again, that's why he said to the disciples, look up. Look up. You actually need to shift your expectations up. God is able to go above. And he wants you to start to look up. He wants us to look up and see what he's doing. God is able in your life, your business, your career, your family. God is able to do all. He's able to do all that we might ask or think. God is able to multiply things above all that we're thinking about. Go back to our mindset of the Father, Father God. Let's think about perhaps our own fathers for a while. And we've all had mixed experiences with our own fathers. They have their good days, their bad days, they're human. But if I wanted something from my father, I didn't ask him for everything I wanted. There was always so much more I wanted than what I asked him for. But what I do is I would pick the times, I would pick the days, I would pick what I thought was achievable, I would pick what I thought that he might just happen to deliver on. And once he delivered on that, I didn't straight away ask him for another thing. I waited a bit longer and waited till that sort of calmed down a bit. And, you know, that wasn't in the prevalent, you know, in the front of his mind. And he was thinking about how much it cost and all that stuff. You would wait a bit longer before you asked for something else. And I think sometimes we actually bring that mindset to God the Father. When we're actually thinking about the things that he wants to do in our lives and our world, and we're thinking, well, this morning I'm going to have my prayer time, and I'm believing that today that I'm going to get an opportunity to talk to my friend about what Jesus has done in my life. And then I think about another guy I'm going to meet, and then I think about this person and that person, and I think, well, I'm just going to pray for the one, because, you know, I don't think God will deliver on them all. So we just sort of limit it, and perhaps that didn't go the way we thought, and the next day, oh well, you know, I probably won't pray for any of them. God can deliver on all. He can multiply all. And he doesn't want us to have that sort of mindset like perhaps we have in the natural, where we're sort of thinking and we're working out what we should ask our Father for. Because we know that our natural fathers, I don't think anybody had a father perhaps with absolutely unlimited resources. So I look around this place, I don't see anybody that perhaps as an oil sheik, as a father, or something like that. We knew the limitations of our Father, and we can tend to bring that to the way that we think about God. God saying, hey, throw that out the window. I want you to get rid of that, and I want you to think God is able, and he's able to deliver on all. On all. God is able in your life, your family, your career, your business, in our church, to go beyond. He's able to go beyond your thoughts. He's able to go beyond your current thoughts, beyond what you're asking him for. I love the way that that verse goes. It actually talks about the beyond, the stuff that you haven't even thought of yet. Stuff that you haven't even been able to conceive. And God wants to start to go beyond. He wants to start to multiply those things in your world that you haven't even thought of. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Because a lot of us are not that smart. A lot of us are not that creative, you know. I'm all for developing vision and developing ideas. And, you know, we get together as a team and we get excited about those things. But, you know, we're not that clever. And God is able to deliver beyond what we can even think of. He's able to deliver abundantly, exceedingly, above all that we can ask for or, listen to that, even think of. Even think of. And it's an even ask for, the fact that God is actually wanting to go beyond. You know, even when we come with this silly attitude, oh, well, I'm only going to ask him for a little bit because that's what happened with my dad, you know. Dad always gave me less than I asked for, so I guess God's the same. You know, God's actually saying, I'm going to show you up. I'm going to deliver on more than you're even asking for, even more than you're starting to think about. Because our God will actually go beyond what we even ask for. It's silly little things. Yesterday, Alex was singing at this wedding, and she'd put all her music on an iPod, and this is one of those old, you know, iPod, whatever they are, shuffle, one of the really old shuffle ones. So they're not very big. And suddenly we went to get it, and she'd taken it, and it was gone, like nowhere to be seen. And, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, we should have done this, we should have done that, and da-da-da-da-da. And we're all running around, we're looking for it, and I look, you know, ask the questions, where did you go, Alex, what did you do, da-da-da, you know, think about this rationally, and we're going through all that. And did you go to the car no. And I thought, well, I'll look in the car anyway. So I go to the car and I look in the car and it's not there. And I go back. And then I actually, I prayed about it. You know, Lord, can you help us find this stupid iPod shuffle thing? And I went back to the car and it was on the seat of the car. I mean, I'd been in there first time. I hadn't seen it. I don't know why I didn't see it. I don't know what. But suddenly, you see, after I prayed, and we can think, well, that's just a little thing. God's not actually concerned about that. You know, he's concerned about big stuff. He's concerned about all these other things. He doesn't care about that. But he's actually saying, you know, I want to go beyond your expectations. I want to be there in the little things. I want to be there in the big things. And I want to go beyond what you can think about. The band want to join me, please. That would be really cool. Change the way that we think. You see, we limit God. We limit God by our own experiences. You know, something happened in our world once and it didn't work the right way, and we think that everyone's against us. We think God's against us. We think it can't happen. So we develop. You know, sometimes we develop a theology. We develop thinking built around our experiences. I've actually met people and talked to people, and you start to talk about what the Bible says about something, and they say to you, well, yeah, I know it says that, but my experience is this. And I've started to develop this thing, and it's actually based around my experience than what the Bible says about, than what God says. Be really, really careful about that. Because it actually sneaks in to our thinking, that we've got to make sure that we don't limit God by our experience. We've got to actually go to what the Word of God says about Him, and we've got to develop our thinking around that. Or by our own knowledge. The fact is, if we don't read the Word of God, if we don't understand it, if we don't get to see what's in it, that our mindset is limited. I grew up in a church, fantastic church, but like any church, you know, churches often have a certain bent on certain things, and you know, they preach some things more than others, and I think any church would do that to some degree. And when I left that church, when I moved to Hobart, and we started to look at other things, suddenly all these things in the Bible that I'd never even heard of, nobody had ever told me about them, that it was like they were new. You see, I was limited by my knowledge. I was limited by what I'd seen and experienced, but I was also limited by my knowledge. So we've got to make sure that our knowledge isn't something that limits us. We've got to be reading the Word of God. We've got to be studying. We've got to be understanding. And our own limitations. Our previous limitations. I love what Alex shared about the horses. You see, those horses she talked about yesterday, they were in a paddock, and like quite often, that, you know, horses eat the grass right down, and you've got to manage where they are. And halfway across this paddock was an electric fence, and then there was an electric fence up the other side. But the thing is, the electric fence actually wasn't even turned on. It wasn't going click, 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 zap, zap, zap. It wasn't doing that, but the horses weren't actually going through the electric fence. You see, you've only got to turn the electric fence on a little bit, and the animals get the idea that the electric fence is on, so after a while they don't try and go through it. Because even though those horses were so big, and there was just this white ribbon, and they weren't running through it because they'd experienced it before. That experience, what happens when you go to that fence, zap, oh, I'm not going back there again. And we can actually limit God by our own experiences, and then when these limitations that get put in place. For those of you that are into leadership, John Maxwell talks about the law of the lid. And he shares this story about, I think it's fleas or something, and that you put them in a bottle and put the lid on, and they jump up and down. And I think they hit their head on the lid a few times and get a bit of a headache. And after a while, they start going up and down to the level of where that lid is. But you can take the lid off the bottle, and they will continue to go up and down to the same place because they haven't worked out that limitation that has gone, that somebody has taken it away. And what God is saying here through the Apostle Paul in Ephesians is he's saying that I want to take away the limits. That we're not to be limited in the way that we think about God. What God is wanting to do in your life is not limited by the parameters that have been previously placed around your life. Maybe you went out and you started to share the gospel with somebody. You know, that's a real easy way to start to multiply what God has done in you, and it didn't work. And suddenly you get this thing that, well, I'm not cut out for that. I'm not cut out to do that sort of thing. And this limitation is there. And we walk around the rest of our life with this limitation that we can't go beyond. And suddenly, maybe God's come along and he's done something amazing in your life, and he's grown some new gifts in you, and all these things have happened, but you're still walking around like the fleas going up and down and up and down and up and down, and that limitation has been taken away. That's the way that God wants us to start to think about him. He's the God of absolutely no limits. I'll finish with this story. It's an amazing story in 1 Samuel. And King Saul was the first king of Israel. And his son was a guy called Jonathan. And these guys, they're in strife. The Philistines they're holding them up, and they can't break through this pass. They can't get past them, and they're sat there. And Jonathan starts to get a little frustrated by the fact that here we are, we've got all these promises from God, but yet we've got these Philistines over there and they're holding us up, and we're being held ransom by them. And this young guy, I love what a young guy can do out of his lack of experience, out of his perhaps lack of perceived limitations, out of his lack of the bumps and bruises of life. And this young guy, he says to his armor bearer, he says to the guy that walked with him and held his armor, he says, why don't we go across? He says, why don't we go across and actually shimmy up that cliff and take those guys on? And if you read here in 1 Samuel 14:16, it says, Jonathan spoke to the young man who was carrying his armor, and he said, come on, let us go over to the camp of those fellows who are uncircumcised. Perhaps, listen to this, perhaps the Lord will help us. And if he does, it won't matter how many or how few of us there are, that won't stop the Lord from saving us. Another version says, well, you know, perhaps the Lord will work for us, or I wonder what God will do. So they go up, and they go up the cliff, and they actually show themselves, and the Philistines see these two young guys coming up the cliff, and they just relax. They say, hey, what's going on here? A couple of young whippersnippers, they're coming up the cliff, and they're going to try and take us on. And they say, Dad, come on, come up and have a go. So they go up, and God's with them, and they have this amazing victory. It says that Jonathan starts to knock them out, and his armor bearer comes through behind and starts to clean them all up. And they have this just amazing victory. You know what it was? It was out of, I wonder what God might do. I wonder what God might do. You know, I've got, perhaps everybody else is limited something, but I wonder what God might be able to do in my world this year. I wonder what God is going to do in your Norfolk. I wonder what God is going to do in youth here at Belrive. I wonder what God is going to do in the high schools around here. I wonder what God is going to do in a business this year. I wonder what God is going to do as we continue to reach churches in Ethiopia and Nepal. I wonder what God is going to do. I wonder. Let's remove the limitations, and let's be like Jonathan. Let's step into that place of wonder. Because you know why? You know why Jonathan did that? Why he didn't stay there with the rest of the things? Because he had a revelation that my God is able. My God is able. My God is able to take me up here. And even if it doesn't work out, I still know that my God is able. I still know that he loves me so much that he's not going to let me go. I know that his will for me is good, and I know that I will go up there. And even if we come unstuck, I've done it serving God, and I've experienced the fact that I was in his will, and I didn't die wondering. How many of you are above 40 in this place? I am. Most of us have got 50 years left if we're above 40, if we get a really good run. Let's not die wondering. It just sounds pretty crude, but I felt to say that. Let's not die wondering. Let's not die wondering what God might have done in us and through us. Who's under 40? Who's under 30? You know what you guys have got? You guys have got an incredible advantage. You've actually experienced less than us. And I'm all for the wisdom and what those of us that have experienced a few more things can bring. But you know what experience can do? It can actually bring in limitations. It can bring in bumps and bruises. It can bring in mindsets. It can bring in a whole lot of stuff and a whole lot of rubbish that we carry with us. So why don't you guys take on the mindset of, I wonder what God can do. I wonder what God can do. I wonder what He might do in my world. I wonder what He's going to do in this church this year. I wonder what He's going to do in my university. I wonder what He's going to do in my school. I wonder what He's going to do in my workplace. I wonder what He's going to do in my family. Because what? Be like Jonathan. You can say, my God is able. Come on, let's stand up. We're going to sing now. I believe God's doing work in us here. For some of us, He's saying, let's not die wondering. Let's not stop where we are. Let's get a hold of the fact. Listen to what the Amplified Version says. It says, now to Him and by, and this bit in brackets, in consequence of the action of His power at work within us, can do super abundantly, far and above all the things that we dare to ask, think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, and dreams. As we go in to Vision Sunday, as we go into this year, let's decide that we're not going to go in wondering, that we're going to give it everything, that we're going to be people that are of prayer. We're going to start fasting. We're going to start getting ready for what God is doing this year. Yeah, Vision Sunday is in a few weeks, but we've been having this month of vision where we're talking about a year of multiplication. Let's not go into it wondering. Let's go into it believing that we're praying, that we're fasting. You know why we pray and why we fast? Because it says He's going to do all these things. He's going to do super abundantly over and above. Listen to this. According to His power at work within us. According to His power at work within us. You know, when we pray, when we fast, when we get into that place, we actually get rid of the mindsets. We get rid of the old stuff. And we actually allow the power of God to come in and start to work within us. You know, the difference between you going somewhere this year, between you experiencing amazing multiplication and you being stuck where you are, will be according to His power at work within you. Come on, let's not die wondering. Let's allow His power to fill us. Thanks, Sam.